everything is on the screen now. I think we'll go ahead and start. Maybe others will come, but we've got lots of content today to do. In a moment, we'll review last week just very quickly. We talked about what culture is, and this week we're going to talk about Jesus and culture. Because you'll learn from Jesus how you live in the culture you're in, and also how you accept other cultures. Next week we will do creativity, and then last week we will do transforming culture, how God uses us as salt and light to change the culture we're in. Next week's one is not my lecture, it's one I heard a man give, and I took really good notes. And I made a good PowerPoint. I sent it out to leaders in the United States who really love it. So it's how to be creative. Hopefully we can apply it in our church. And one of the things we're going to say next week is, I'm saying Roots is not a place. Roots is not a group. Roots is not a time, Sunday morning. Roots is an idea. What can we make of Roots that would expand it and change it so God can work more? Same as our church. Most people think of church as a building. Thankfully, we don't have a building. I mean, we would love to have one, but sometimes you just are locked into everything in church is in the building. And God lives in the building, and you come visit him every week. And God lives in a book called the Bible. That's not true, right? But next week, we'll talk about creativity. Let's pray together, and then we'll begin our time. And it's Jesus. Father, thank you for this morning. We have a full day today, Father. So from the very beginning, we want to bring you into it, listen to you, hear from you so we can speak and follow you. Help us as we study, help us as we worship, help us as we remember that day that we can learn the most and grow the most. Let's do a quick review here. We talked about Jesus. Our whole theme is how Jesus affects culture. And this diagram helps us to say everything in culture filters through Jesus. And what comes out on the other side is our culture that Jesus is in the middle of. Oh, the red shows, but not too well, right? But culture, our definition of culture was, that's the way we do things around here. So nations have cultures. China has a culture. Canada has a culture. Cities have cultures. Shanghai is different from, I always say Urumqi, but I'm not saying it right. But, but they're very different cultures, right? Yeah. Kunming has a very different culture from Dalian or Harbin. So even cities have cultures. Calgary has a Western culture. Calgary is more American than any other city in Canada. Did you know that?
No.
Calgary is like Houston.
You are really?
More than it's like Montreal.
Yeah.
So gas and oil.
Cowboy culture.
Cattle and what?
Cowboy
culture, yes. So if you wore a cowboy hat in Montreal, people would think you're really weird. If you wear one here, people think you're from Calgary.
So,
Calgary, cities have cultures, family has culture. Your family has a different culture from my family. It's just the way we do things in this family. Churches have cultures. This is the very first church I've ever been in where we have a meal after the worship service every Sunday. I've never ever been in that kind of church before. Actually, this is the first church I've been in that has a gym where you can go play badminton after church. So we have a culture. If you went to most Chinese churches, they have a choir. Do they have a choir? No. But if you came from another Chinese church, you might be really annoyed. This isn't a real church. It doesn't have a choir. And the people don't wear robes. And Paul doesn't wear a tie. You know, all of these things are culture issues. And so churches have cultures too. You have a culture. You do things differently than I do things. There's a new culture coming among the young adults. It's called the hipster culture. I'll see it in Montreal when I go this week. They wear a different hat. They look like they just threw their clothes together, but my friend said it takes them hours to dress. It's a culture, right? They want to look that way. Well, culture determines who's inside and who's outside. Who belongs and who's the foreigner? Culture, you know, when I go to China, I will never be an insider. I will never be.
You don't speak Chinese.
Even, you know, if you close your eyes and Susan spoke Chinese, you would say, oh, she's Chinese. As soon as you open your eyes, she'd say, no, she's not Chinese. So culture determines who's inside and outside. Culture says these people are like us. Now, the most extreme of culture, the English word, hardly anybody knows that. So if you don't know that word, don't worry about it. 1 in 100 people know that word in English. And I don't know if this is right in Chinese, if you're familiar with that. It means people who are afraid of or who hate foreigners. Japan in World War II was like this. Very, very much so. Everybody else but Japanese were hated and feared and treated as not human, subhuman. So the extreme of culture can be this sort of thing. I want to show you a video clip. It's an interview in Iraq during the war, maybe 10 years ago, and you'll see what culture looks like, the differences in culture. Are you ready to watch it?
Russian soldiers ordered forces north of Texas to take the city of Patrice, here in Northern Iraq. Is now firmly under control of American forces. Or is it? These members of the Iraqi resistance movement, still loyal to Saddam Hussein, think otherwise.
The Americans tell lies. Each day our forces grow stronger. Each day we will go first on our goal of driving the infidels from the
Nothing, carry on.
Driving the infidels from our motherland. But we are not afraid to divest ourselves. They are, aren't they? Who do I need job titles for? I don't understand what I'm saying. And that English is a bloody American University title.
Well, obviously I can understand what you're saying.
What can you see? How they come to say to us these job titles? Maybe it's to demonstrate, you know, for the hearing test. No, the local thing is common sense now. Say something again. Vice President has a history.
Hey,
I'm coming
to the job titles. Obviously he's from the
English. Oh, my God!
The situation remains as dangerous and volatile as ever here in northern Iraq. While the rebuilding continues,
well, having fun, but you realize that's a cultural thing, right? Different cultures, different language, all of those things. Last week, we looked at this. There's many, many things that make up your culture. I'm putting it up there, I'm not going to deal with it. This one I changed, I put religion, and I added language here. And of course, if you're from Shanghai, your dialect is different from Chongqing and different from Beijing, and so even the dialect affects your culture, right? So we're very, very complicated, and culture is very complicated. To study culture and to become culturally sensitive and cross into other cultures is very difficult. I first began to learn it when I had a roommate who was Chinese when I was 19 years old and my first year of university. And so Victor is from Hong Kong, and he's so different from me. And so we, you know, as we learn culture, what we said last week is Jesus has come to take all of these parts of culture and put himself in the middle of it. And that's the challenge of being a Christian, is how God is affecting you As we said, God is making you or reconstructing you in the middle of your culture. So you will be like Jesus in your culture. Jesus can fit into any culture. And being a Christian, Christianity fits into every culture. So no matter who you deal with, what tribe it is, that person can become a Christian and become part of the culture. So we looked at this verse last week when Jesus prayed, they're in the world, his disciples, and we are in the culture, but we're not of the culture. Something is different. You're different now in your family. You're different in your country culture. You're different from that. And that difference begins to show. We're going to show how it impacted Jesus and how it impacted us. This was our verse that we used for our retreat, and so I'll just remind you of it. Why don't you say it together, and then we'll pull one word out of it. Let's say it together. Don't let the world mold you, the culture mold you, but be transformed. And this word in Greek language is metamorphosis, from a caterpillar to a cocoon to a butterfly. And so it's picturing, let God change you. And it starts by your thinking, and then it changes your action. So this is what Jesus is doing in your life, in the middle of your culture, of your family, in your homeland, or in Canada. This is what Jesus is doing. So it constantly means you think differently. And maybe we should say, you study Jesus, so you think like Jesus. I try to read a chapter of the Gospels every day, and I want to do that for the rest of my life. Now, I'm really familiar with the Gospels. I've read them for many, many years, but I want to be like Jesus, and the best way I know is to be always immersing myself in the gospel. What is Jesus like? Okay, let's look at Jesus, his life. Jesus was born into a culture and became part of the culture. It's interesting when in his home city, town, when he is speaking, this is the comment they make about Jesus. And they say, he has brothers. He had four brothers. He has at least two sisters, because it says plural there. And so we know Jesus came from at least a family of seven children. Any of you come from a family of seven children? I did. So there's seven in my family, seven kids. I'm number five. And so, you know, by number five, they just forget about you, right? You're just too tired to even know your name, sort of. But Jesus was born, he was born into a family, into a culture, and by the way, the nation he's born into, or the group, the Jews, are both despised and unimportant. So he's born, you could say, if it were China today, he's born into the Yuzu or the Miao minority, like a minority group and a very unimportant group, not Han Chinese. That would be that idea. He's born into a culture. He was born into a Jewish family, and he took part in national holidays as a boy. And in Luke it says, when he's 12 years old, he goes with his parents, and they go up to Jerusalem, and they participate in the biggest holiday. It would be the equivalent in China of Spring Festival, that size of holiday, and they go to have the Passover. I think they went three times a year to Jerusalem. For sure they would go this time. And he goes with them. He's a Jewish boy, and he's in a Jewish family, and they're following the Jewish customs and the culture. By the way, you remember what happens in this? We're going to come back to this story in a minute, when Jesus is 12 years old, and what happens. So the Passover, by the way, that we celebrate is what we get our Lord's Supper from. And Jesus changed the Passover and made it a new celebration. And that's our Lord's Supper. So So they have bread, and they have wine, they have a cup, and they have bread, and it's built around a celebration or a remembrance supper. But I just wanted to show you, Jesus wasn't an alien. He wasn't an outsider. He comes right into the culture. Jesus followed the Jewish faith, and he was a rabbi. Am I giving you the right, is that right for rabbi? There actually is two terms, I didn't know which one. But, you know, rabbi is a teacher, and a religious teacher. And so, we don't know what Jesus looks like. Of course, we don't. This is a rabbi of about 100 years ago. Isn't it interesting that Jesus might have had a full beard? We always see him and he's shaved and, you know, really nice. His hair is airbrushed and he always got gel in his hair. No, he was a rabbi. And I forget the verse you brought. Somebody tell me what that verse
is.
What? This verse, what is it referring to? Oh, and it was his custom to worship in the synagogue. So, by the way, this is a good verse to remind people. It's important to be with God's people week after week. This was Jesus' habit. If you want to be like Jesus, this should be your habit. Be with God's people week after week, like Jesus did. Jesus never told us to do things, but first he did it himself. And part of it was he was. So he's a Jew. Let's add one more idea. He was 100% Jew. Jesus is 100% God, 100% human, and he comes into a culture and he's 100% Jew. And we know that in part because when he has a conversation with a woman who's not Jew, she's Samaritan, which is half-breed. Samaritans are half-Jew and half-not-Jew, but the Jews hated them. And Jesus has a conversation with her. By the way, Jesus is violating many, many cultural rules to have this conversation. We're going to come back to that in a minute. But look at what she said. You're a Jew. When she looked at him, he's a Jew. Yeah, he doesn't have a halo around his head, right? He looks like everybody else. But what's different is first of all, he's all God and he's all man. But what's different is who he is within. And when you're a Christian, you look the same. You know, I say when you're baptized, you know, put you down, you come up again, same, you're a little wetter, but everything else is the same height. One time I baptized a man in Saskatchewan, and he came in, he was a First Nations man, and when he came into the baptistry, he had no shirt on. And he just walked up, and I'm sort of shocked. I thought, you know, he should have a t-shirt, maybe. But he had no shirt on. And so he turned sideways, and there's the audience, and I'm here, and I baptized him. I lift him up. And after my wife said, did you know he had a tattoo in his arm? I said, no. She said, well, it was a naked woman down here. Now, it would have been great if after the baptism it disappeared, right? You're the same, but you're different. You have Christ in you, and you're different. So what can we learn about Jesus when he's in the culture? What can we learn about ourselves? First of all, Jesus, is that a good word for dignify? Shows respect and honors all cultures? Well, figure out your word. I've limited by that. Yep, you get that? Get a good word? Jesus, because he came into a culture that wasn't an important culture, Jesus dignifies all the cultures. Don't let anybody say, I must become a Christian, but I also must be like a Canadian. No. Be a Christian Chinese, or a Christian Malaysian, or a Christian. Be a Christian plus your culture. Jesus dignifies all cultures. Which says you can be proud of your ethnic background, of your cultures. Don't be ashamed of it. If you go to Africa and worship, You know, there's a Christian, there's a women's organization in the state related to churches called WMU, Women's Missionary Union. Many churches, this is a women's group that studies missions, talks about missions, helps the church raise money for missions. I one time saw a video of the leader of the WMU. She was in Africa and she was in a worship service. Now, in her church in America, for sure, she would sit down, stand up, bow her head to pray, and walk out after. But in Africa, she danced all around the auditorium with everybody else. Because that's her background. And that's how they worship. And when she was there, she would stand and do that. So be proud of your ethnic background. And find out how to bring Christianity, how to bring Christ into that. We're going to talk about that in the fourth week. Be proud of your ethnic background. Sadly, in the story of mission, sometimes missionaries went, say, from Britain, went to India, went to Africa, and said, you need to become Christian, plus you need to dress like we dress. And so you can see these strange pictures in Africa where it's so hot of people wearing suits, like they're in Britain, you know, a wool suit and tie and everything, and they look like British, but they're African. You know, the missionaries got one thing wrong. And one thing they got wrong was that Jesus can fit comfortably into another cultural background. He can do that. I think we can say, God loves the nations and wants them all to become Canadian. No, God loves the nations and wants them to come to Christ and worship Him. Revelation says this on English, I'm going to say. It's talking about the end of time and the new heavens and the new earth. It's a city where Christ dwells, where God dwells. Christ is the light. And it says the nations will walk in the light. God's not interested in having the nations disappear. He's interested in us, in our culture, being together, celebrating the differences, and loving one another, and having Christ as the center. And the nations will walk, and the nations will bring their glory to God. I kind of think we'll sing for a thousand years in English, and then God says, this is really boring. Let's sing in Tagalog, like the Filipinos do. They're the best integration. And then, how about Mandarin? And now let's have this group. But, you know, and if you can't sing here, I think you can sing. You know, because I just sing quietly because my voice is not very good. This is God's dream, that the nations together worship Him and come to Him through Jesus. That's our first idea. I'll stop there for a moment. Do you have any comments? Jesus is in the culture like you're in the culture. He knows what it's like to be in a culture, and He knows what it's like for you to be in a culture. Okay, let's move on. Jesus challenged the culture, His culture. He's in the culture, but He doesn't accept all of the culture. Is that a good word for taboo? Do you know what taboo is? Taboo is actually not an English word. It may be an African word, just an import word. But it means doing things you shouldn't do. Or if something is taboo, you don't do that. And every culture has its taboos. I'll give you one that is really interesting to me in Chinese culture, that I never heard before. And that's if a woman is pregnant and then has the child, she stays home for a month. Is that right? Alice, I think you stayed home for a month?
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember Rachel stayed home for a month.
Yeah.
And my daughter had her second child, and the next day she went shopping.
Yeah.
So see how different the culture is. Now, a Chinese would say, that's taboo. Yeah, you shouldn't do that, right? Yeah, but if you did do it, like if Alice the next day went out shopping, what would people say? Don't do that. So it's taboo, right? So our cultures are full of these, right? How you eat. I'm always strange when I go to China because I eat with my left hand, right? So it's sort of taboo.
No.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, at least they let me write with my left hand. that if I was from a previous generation, if I was doing this, the teacher would do that, and you got to write with your right hand. Because it's taboo to use your left hand.
So these
are just part of culture. Some of them are not very important. Some of them are very, very important. And that's the problem if you cross a culture. You know, like gestures, you know, the way you would, you know, this might be yes, but in another culture this might say, let's have a bite, you know? these are the complicated parts of culture. And Jesus deliberately, crossed or stopped doing what the culture said. And in this, he's dealing with food, and he's saying, what you eat doesn't matter. And a little later, it says, he declared all foods good. Now, even in my culture, we don't like that. Like, people say, well, you shouldn't drink coffee, and you should be vegan, you should, you know, you shouldn't eat meat, or you shouldn't eat this, and they have all these rules, and sometimes we as people get very, very in your face about that. You know what Jesus said? Doesn't matter. The Jews did not eat pork. Muslims today won't eat pork. They can never have a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. They can never have bacon and eggs. You know what? Jesus said, doesn't matter. Because he's saying it's the heart that matters. What's going on is what, out of the heart comes the words, the thoughts, and the actions, not what you eat. So that's a little annoying to people. When they say it's really important to eat this and not eat that. You see what he's doing? He's helping us understand there's some things in culture that aren't important, even if people say they're important. You know, in our culture today, green is very important, right? And kids will be upset with me because I have this, and, you know, I'm going to throw it away. And so I'm sensitive to that, but it's not as important as the condition of your heart. That's what Jesus is saying. Exercise is very important in Western culture, right? Mm-hmm. At least we say it's important. You know, lots of people don't do anything. But we say it's important. You know what God would say? That is important. But your condition in your heart is much more important. Do you exercise your soul? Is your heart in good shape? That's more important than whether your body is in good shape. So this, first of all, Jesus challenges the culture. We don't have time to talk about all of this, but we're going to see Jesus does something major by challenging the cultural rules of how he should relate, how men should relate to women, and how he should relate as a rabbi to women. What's here is amazing because the group that starts following Jesus include his disciples, the 12, include other people. We know he trained at least 70 people at one time and sent them out on mission projects, on a mission trip. But it says many women were with him. And they provided for him. This is radical, unheard of, extremely bad in his culture. He's doing something very, very wrong. You know what? He doesn't care. Because women are more important to him than the culture, what the culture says. Isn't that interesting? It names the names of people, some of them are very prominent women, and they go with him on these trips. And so there's men and women in a crowd, and when they stay at night, you know, they all have to find places. And this is really interesting. Let's look at another example. He taught women. This is where he's teaching Mary, is that right?
Yes.
He goes to the home of Martha and Mary, the two sisters, and Martha's in the kitchen where she should be. No, I don't mean that. But that's how she thinks, right? That's how she thinks. I'm the woman, I must cook. Where's Mary? Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. She's listening, she's studying. You know, she shouldn't be there. At all, she shouldn't be there. It's really, really wrong in their culture for a rabbi to teach a woman. It is wrong. Actually, a rabbi and a Pharisee, those are the religious leaders, would pray every morning, I thank God that you didn't make me a Gentile, a heathen, you know, a non-Jew. I thank God you didn't make me a slave. And I thank God you didn't make me a woman. They prayed that every day. That's their prayer. And Jesus not only lets her sit and study, but he compliments her, if you know that story. When Mary is so angry and comes in and says, you know, she should be helping me in the kitchen. And Jesus said, no, she's picked the best thing. Can you see Jesus challenging culture? Because he's saying it's important for women to learn, and I'll teach women, I'll teach anyone who will learn, I'll teach them. He's being very, very damaging to his culture. This is really reactive. This one is the woman, the Samaritan woman. You know, she is the first one, if we can understand John, in time sequence, she's the first one Jesus announces he's the Messiah to. Isn't that interesting? And then she's the one that is the missionary to go and bring her town, and her town all responds to God because of her. She has a very, very important position. And John deliberately, or the Holy Spirit has deliberately said, Jesus honored her. First, she's an outsider, remember? She's not a Jew. Jesus is saying, I'm not going to let the culture hold me in. I'm going to talk to a non-Jew. I'm going to talk to a woman. I'm going to give her the good news. And she's going to bring it to others. It's really interesting. Jesus is doing very, very unusual things in his culture. Actually, people hate this about him. And by the way, people will be upset with you when you live like Christ in your culture. Some things, you'll do some things that don't fit the culture. Okay, he broke some of the rules, especially in the religious area. He didn't follow the Sabbath the way you're supposed to. They had many, many hundreds of rules of what you shouldn't do on the Sabbath. And he just ignores it. Is this where he is talking about washing your hands? And yeah, he's at a party and he doesn't wash his hands. Well, even today, that's a little rude, right? You know, when the men's washroom, you should wash your hands. I always say, if there's two guys in the washroom, then the men wash their hands. But if there's just one guy, you just walk out. I'm just judging that, but that might be true. So, but, you know, it's important. And, you know, if you work in a restaurant, wash your hands. Jesus didn't wash his hands. And they're really upset with him. And he responds by saying, how about your heart? You know, you're worried about my fingernails. Is there dirt under my fingernails, you know, and they all buffed and polished and everything like that. What's your heart like? Is your heart clean? See how he sees the important thing? And he's saying, forget the unimportant thing. You know, some Christian leaders my age, it really affects them when kids dye their hair or get a mohawk or shape it all off, or wear earrings, or have nose rings. And my attitude is, who cares? Like, what's their fight like? This is really interesting stuff, isn't it? I hardly see any Chinese students with, like, piercings. Actually, I'm not trying to say they should have piercings, but maybe it's good. But, you know, if they got a pierce, you know, if I had a boy and he got a piercing, well, actually, we have a pastor in our city, and his son, just for kicks, came home from university years ago, and he just had one of those dial-on earrings, you know, the ones that just attach and you just tighten it. So he wore it in, and he came to the airport. His dad picked him up, his dad said, you get that out of your ear, or I'll rip it out of your ear. He's one of our pastors, right? You can't handle the little things. And the boy, you know, the boy took it off. But the boy just said, Dad, how's your heart? I know you're concerned about these little things, but how's your heart? That's what Jesus does in our culture. Okay. What can we learn about this? Examine your culture and don't accept everything uncritically. There's things in your culture and mine that don't fit with Jesus. Like my culture, Canadian culture, is very tolerant, right? You're okay, I'm okay, Even if you're different, we, you know, but you know, the Christian, sometimes they have to say, you're not okay. And if you keep following that way to God, it isn't a way, and you're gonna die and waste your life. Now, Canadians don't like to say that. Right? So, examine your culture. I can't be a Canadian. Jesus is not Canadian, right? Although he can fit in Canadian culture. And Jesus is not Chinese, right? You have to examine your culture and say, what fits with Jesus and what needs to change? Okay, learn to filter your culture through Jesus. I remember, I have a friend in Shanghai, Yo-Yo is her name, and she became a Christian, but her family is Buddhist. And so there is a day where you go to the graves and honor the ancestors, is that right? Clean the graves?
April?
Yeah. She had to decide, I can't do that. Now, you would know more what that means than I know, right? But she couldn't do it because it involved, for her family anyway, the ancestral worship that came with Buddhism, Confucianism. Anyway, it has such a religious part to it that she said, I can't do that. Her family were very angry. I don't understand all of that, except I remember she's dealing with culture, and she's changing. She's still filtering culture through Jesus. Jesus stands in judgment over every culture, including mine and yours. By the way, Jesus stands in judgment over every religion, including Christianity, including what we practice here. What we do, we're trying our best to do what Jesus did, but not all of it is like Jesus. And constantly we have to change to make it more like Jesus. So the initial is sometimes see grace looks like this. What would Jesus do when he's in this situation? What would Jesus do? People are more important than cultural norms. That's really, really bad. Whatever the culture is, you know, if you're in a Muslim culture, men don't talk to women. But I think Jesus would say, I might. If I can bring the good news to that woman, I might. I won't accept a cultural taboo if it stops me from doing what God, the Father, wants me to do with the gospel. It's really interesting to follow that. This is where Jesus is talking about, is it good on the Sabbath to show love to people? And his answer is, it is good on the Sabbath. Whatever you, all your rules, throw away your rules. This is what God wants. I say to my assistants, people are more important than paper. If you're working on something and there's lots of paper and you're printing and everything, but the phone rings and this person, that's more important than the paper. Jesus says, keep going. Okay, let's look at the last part here. Jesus created a new culture, the kingdom of God. And his famous picture for this, we don't use this anymore, although there are some cultures that use this. And if you go on a hike, Belinda, have you ever been on a hike and used a skin like this to carry water? You can still buy these, but they're made of leather, and here's a picture, of course. If you have one and it's old, that means it's already been stretched. If you put new wine in, it ferments and expands, and it'll just burst the skin. Everybody in Jesus' culture would know that picture. And so he used a very common picture to say, if you're going to have new wine, you have to put it in new wine skin. And if you have new life, you're going to have a new culture. And so Jesus gives the new culture. That's how we look at it. The Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And if we have lots of time, we would just stop and see how Jesus changes and makes a new culture. How prayer is different. How giving is different. How priorities is different. But it's interesting, he says, this is what it used to say, this is what I say. He's very different from a rabbi, by the way. A rabbi would say, this is what it used to say, and then this is what this book said, and this is what this said, you know, and put them all together, and this is a pretty good idea. He says, no, this is what I say. He is taking the center, and he's starting a new culture. He's not just a teacher. That's why people are so amazed at his teaching. He taught with authority, that's what the Bible says. You know what that means? He's the author. He's writing the book. Okay. just an example, and we can't deal with it except to say, Jesus will affect how you look at money. And Chinese love money.
Who doesn't?
But, yeah. But not as much as Canadians love money. Well, maybe the same, right? Canadians are so determined to get money in their retirement.
Imagine.
And there's a book called, what's that called? I should have looked it up. The Wealthy Barber. It's a Canadian book. It's now a new edition. It's sold thousands, maybe more than a million. It may be. If you read that book from one cover to another cover, and even the revised edition, it says nothing about giving to charity. That's really Canadian, right? Who cares? I just want my money in my bank account so I can retire and go on cruise ships off the coast of Italy and maybe they sink or who knows, but you know, that Canadians love money. But I think Chinese do too. So you just need to be aware, Jesus will challenge your view of money. By the time you're done with Jesus, you won't think the same as people around you about money. You just won't do that. We don't have time, except I'm showing you, he does this. Now that gets very annoying to people. Because in your culture and mine, if you got lots of money, you must be really important. And in Jesus' culture, if you got lots of money, then God blessed you. Jesus says, no, that's not true. Maybe not. In fact, Jesus says, if you have lots of money, it's really hard to get into the kingdom of God. It's hard. So, Jesus had no prejudice. I'll just put these two stories up here. These are the two people that Jesus said, your faith is great. And they're both foreign. I don't think he said that of any Jew. I don't think so. But these people, he said, your faith is great. One's a man who's a Roman soldier. Another is a woman who's, she's up in what we call Lebanon now. She's not a Jew. And she's so persistent to get on Jesus' help. So it's fascinating, right? The way Jesus, he has no prejudice at all. You never have to feel second class to Jesus, because there's no such thing. He opened the kingdom to everyone. And this is the end of a story where Jesus is talking about a banquet, and the people that get invited don't want to come, so the host of the banquet says, okay, let's just go, let's get anybody. Let's get the street people. Let's get the homeless. Forget the ones that I invited, if they don't want to come. And of course, Jesus is saying, Jews have the chance. They don't want it. Jesus says, we'll find people who want it. The kingdom of God is open to anyone who will respond to Jesus. And this is in Luke. We're familiar with the Great Commission. This is the same type of Luke. He sends us to the nation. Sadly, I remember a conversation that the boy Michael Joe had with me at SYC, and he said, why is Jesus born in Israel and not in China? Another good question. Then he said, Paul, that this story is so important about Jesus. Why did it take 2,000 years to get to China? Now, 2,000 is not right, but I understood it again. And my answer was, Michael, there were people who said, we want to be Christian, but keep it to ourselves. We want to go to heaven, but the rest of the world can go to hell. And I said, Michael, if you become a Christian, God will ask you to take the gospel to the nations. You can't just have it for yourself. This is very radical here, because what's the most important in Chinese culture? Not the individual, but the family. In North American culture, it's reversed, I think. But I think it's right in Chinese culture. Remember Jesus got, when he's 12, he goes to Jerusalem with his family. They get lost. They don't find him for, is it 3 days, 2 days? But imagine if you have a 12-year-old and you can't find that child for 3 days. You'd be so worried, sick. And they do find him, and his mom is a great Chinese mother, right? She's Jewish, but look at how she talks to him. Well, what have you done? And he says, don't you understand? I need to be about my father. I have a more important family. So what's more important in your life now? Your family? No. Family is important. Your relationship to Jesus. I'll just put these up really quickly here. When he calls the first set of disciples, the first ones leave their career, and the second one leaves their dad, leaves the family. And we don't like that at all. Because what's most important in Chinese culture, I think in Canadian culture too, family and career. You know, in Chinese culture, what I observe, there's nothing more important than education. Well, family. Secondly, education, academic, study, get your degree, and get a good job, and get married, and have babies, and look after me, mom, you know, your mom and dad when we're old. That's Chinese culture, and it's not bad. Except Jesus takes priority over education. Jesus takes priority over your career. And when you begin to get close to Jesus, you have to grapple. This is why Jesus is so annoying. We're having so many ideas that I can't talk to you about. Elaborate. I'm just giving you a bit. Jesus started in his family. When they came to him, his family came to him and said, you know, we want to talk to him. Actually, they came because they thought he was crazy. He's out of his mind, so they want to bring him back home, put him in a carpentry shop, give him the, you know, give him the plane, give him the hammer, give him a screwdriver, just shut the door and let him calm down. He's losing it. His family don't follow him until the resurrection. And Jesus says, you know, I have another family. And this is actually my family. And you start thinking differently when you are a Christian. I really like this. If this is the woman that he heals, is that right? And he calls her daughter?
Yeah.
He treats, you know, she violates many cultural rules. First of all, she shouldn't even try and relate to a rabbi. If she touched a rabbi, he would be unclean. Like, he's contaminated. But that's really terrible, but that's the culture. She reaches in and touches him and his robe, and she gets healed, but she doesn't want to even have anything to do with him because she knows the culture. So she just disappears in the crowd, and Jesus stops and says, wait, somebody touched me. And I think it's Peter that says, well, like, you're in a crowd. Like get a life, right? Everybody's touching you. You know, like, come on. Jesus says, no, somebody touched me because I felt power go out of me. By the way, that when you help people, power goes out of you. That's why you need time to recharge as a Christian. If God is working in your life spiritually, power goes out of you. Jesus teaches. And so that woman comes in front of Jesus. She is so scared because she did so many wrong things. Plus she is bleeding, she's hemorrhaging, she's sick. She shouldn't be there. All of these bad, bad things in culture. You know what Jesus says? Daughter, you're so wonderful. Everything he says is so kind, and he treats you like that. This is Jesus. What can we learn from Trinity Shaw? Family changes for Christians. If people are adopted by God, they're your brothers and sisters all over the world. That's really great. If your family was great, that's good. Now you have two good families. If your family was awful, it was great because now you have a good family. It's the family in the kingdom of God. Culture, remember we said this, culture decides it's inside and outside. Jesus became the outsider. By the end of Jesus' life, they take him and put him on a cross, and they throw him out of the culture and the religion, and so he's totally outside, and he does that so that all of us could become inside. This is great. There's nobody outside in God's plan if they were on earth. Again, people are more important than culture. Forget what this is. Is that that same verse I had before? Whatever the culture is, people are more important. Let's finish off with something that is a warning to us. Jesus was hated, harassed, criticized, and finally killed because of what he did. After Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath, and he's angry because they're so cultural that they don't care. He's angry. That's a good kind of anger. There's lots of bad kind of anger. That's a good kind of anger. It says the religious leaders and the political leaders went to kill him. And just reminding you, when this happens in your life, there's people who are angry. You have to switch. Okay? Thank you. that's it. Yeah. Next week, we really covered a lot of ground. I'm sorry we couldn't have this session. Next week, creativity.
Thank you. This is yours,
Okay.